Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:13 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 21st. I created this chart in here today. It's the spread between the 10-year break-even and the 10-year Treasury yield. And you can see that it's been rising pretty abruptly over the course of the last year in particular, and really since the end of 2018. But it also trended higher from approximately 2000, with a big hiatus in 2006 and 8, and then onto a significant high in 2012. Well, the reality is that when you think about inflation break-evens, they're currently around 1.5%, and the 10-year Treasury yield is probably around 0.6%, so there's a significant mismatch. This is very consistent with the kind of environment we saw after 2000. Where we had this really quite acute increase in the perceptions of risk for inflation, but the Federal Reserve was unwilling to raise rates. We had exactly the same situation evolve after 2008, and the reluctance of the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates, it was tantamount to financial repression. We have a similar situation unfolding today, because we have this massive quantity of debt that has been accrued over a very short period of time that is putting a great deal of pressure on governments in particular, because any kind of significant raise in interest rates is going to have a very significant knock-on effect in terms of financing deficits and meeting interest payments. So that is contributing to this additional fresh period of financial repression, and this trend continues higher. But one thing I find particularly interesting is that we know that the gold price had bottomed in 2000, did really quite well through until about 2004. It did break on the upside in 2005, despite the fact this spread had contracted. But then it did peak in 2008, gold price bottomed in late 2008. It also peaked in 2012, and it is now approaching the peak from 2012 in terms of the actual nominal price. Well, it's a graphic representation, therefore, of the fact that financial repression is a clear tailwind for gold prices, and gold is continuing to respond to these phenomena. So when we look at the gold price, it has now cleared the $1,800 area, and I apologize, I can't type very effectively, and it has clearly broken up and out of this short-term range. What is particularly interesting, I think, about gold right now is just how less volatile it has been compared to just even a trending environment that we had before the big big pullback in March. And this is really quite encouraging, because what it says is that there is a clear pattern of demand dominance. But we are getting increasingly overextended relative to the trend mean, and we are approaching the previous peak. But of course, it's only a peak in US dollar terms. When we look at gold in any other currency, really, then it is well on its way to fresh new highs, but has been making new highs in other currencies for really quite a prolonged period already. That's equally true of developed markets as it is of emerging markets or commodity markets versus other markets. So there is a clear pattern of outperformance for gold in other currencies as well as US dollars for another additional reason, that every country in the world is now engaged in some form of monetary or fiscal stimulus. And there was an interesting report from I can't remember what the exact name is, IIF, but it was highlighting the fact that while the Chinese government has not been massively engaged in issuing new debt, in fact, they have seen that government bond yields have done nothing but trend higher. In fact, the yield there is up to nearly 3%. And in fact, now is right in the region of the trend mean. There is the clear scope that we're going to see some additional weakness coming through in here. But one thing that we can certainly say is that while the government has not been issuing a lot of additional debt and hasn't been pulling on the levers of fiscal stimulus in quite the same aggressive manner as it did after the financial crisis, that non-bank lenders in China, non-bank borrowers in China are pulling debt into the market at an accelerating rate. And I think that's rather significant, that what we are clearly seeing here is that China's economy is under stress, and there are clear measures underway in an attempt to try and promote growth. This is, on the one hand, being, I think, positioned as a way of ensuring that growth persists. It's also on geopolitical grounds, but then of course there are also keeping up appearances grounds. So the CSI 300 has continued to steady, and it has at least found near-term support in the region of about 4,500. One thing I think is quite interesting right now is the number of China-related indices that are bouncing from big psychological numbers. So the Hang Seng is bouncing from the 25,000 level. The H Shares Index is bouncing from the 10,000 level. And when we look at the China A50, then that is also bouncing from the 15,000 level. So we've got big psychological levels in a significant number of Chinese markets offering support, and it suggests that we have a low of at least near-term significance. Then when we look at some of those Chinese technology shares, well, Tencent has continued to push up and out of its range. Alibaba, as it has also now listed in Hong Kong, has continued to extend its breakout as well. The Hong Kong Exchange has surged out of a lengthy range as well. So this, I think, is part of the face-saving exercise for Chinese markets, that they are willing to support the market, although not in a straight line. And that is clearly as a way of both helping to improve perceptions of China's ability to recover from the coronavirus, but it's also part of the carrot and stick approach to trying and bringing Hong Kong further under into the fold of the mainland. So there is, on the one hand, the stick, which is the security apparatus, but on the other, you have the listing of China's mega caps in the Hong Kong exchange, which could be considered a carrot. But when we come back and think about gold, well, gold continues to do well because of the clear impetus of every country to continue to support their respective economies. The silver price surged on the upside in here today. It was up $1.40, and that's really quite impressive. It moved to a new 3-year high yesterday, and it moved to a new 6-year high in here today. So it is really quite clearly breaking up and out of this base formation. And I think that's one of the most clear base formation completion patterns we've seen in quite some time. Silver is still trading at a fraction of its peak from back in 2011. So I think that's an additional point here, that when we look at precious metals, they are trading at a significant discount relative to their peaks, and therefore have got plenty of catch-up potential relative to other assets. And the fact that we still have a negative real interest rate environment is the clearest fundamental to help to support them. And then, of course, we have got the debasement of fiat currencies, which means that there is plenty of liquidity available to chase the kinds of assets that cannot simply be printed into existence. Platinum prices are also firming in here. And we're up $57 in here today and pushing back above the $900 area for the first time in a couple of months. It has held the sequence of higher reaction lows. The upper side of platinum's base formation is around the $1,000 level. Now, one thing that is tying silver and platinum together is the outlook for renewable energy. But palladium was also in positive territory in here today, and it has now broken its sequence of lower rally highs from the peak in February. When we think about silver, well, then one of the primary use cases is in solar cells. And of course, we had the announcement of the Eurozone's 500 billion euro green stimulus plan in here today. So that is potentially something that will continue to represent an area of, or a source of, or tailwind for the solar sector. For platinum, it's really all about the outlook for hydrogen and hydrogen fuel cells. There are a very small number of hydrogen companies, and I don't believe that there's an ETF for any of them, but they have rallied really quite spectacularly over the course of this year. Now we're getting at least some pause and consolidation, but it's still a bull market environment overall, considering the quantity of money that is getting poured into this sector. It's probably not yet enough to move the needle in terms of platinum demand in the short term, but it does have the potential to become more of a catalyst for bullish action over the medium term. And I think that is something that platinum in particular has been missing. There just hasn't been a clear reason for or to overcome the supply dominant environment after the loss of diesel vehicles. The evolution of hydrogen fuel cells is potentially a catalyst for additional interest in the platinum markets. So it's not simply that we're getting additional interest in precious metals, but that there are increasing industrial applications for some of the precious metals that are beginning to now stoke interest in the sector generally. Now, when we look at the performance of gold shares relative to gold, well, they have been underperforming for a really very long time, but have clearly moved to outperformance since March. And we're increasingly seeing that money is being poured into the mining sector on a speculative basis, and that companies are increasingly having money made available to them with a view to increasing production and to exploration. Well, that's not something we've seen for a really quite prolonged period. I think it is particularly relevant to look at the long-term history of gold shares relative to the gold price, because it got to a low below the lows put in early 2000, and it retested that low in March. And since then, it has rebounded in a robust manner. This is the point in the cycle where gold shares can do best, because of the rationalization that went into the sector following the massive bear market that began for gold shares, at least relative to the gold price, in the mid-2000s, but really accelerated after gold peaked. I think this is one of the most important points here, that after a very significant period of outperformance where gold shares bottomed relative to gold in 2000 and then peaked out between about 2004 and 2006, then they really underperformed the gold price in the second half of the bull market. Now we're back in the region of those lows from 2000, and gold miners are extremely disciplined, and they have self-imposed this requirement to report all-in sustaining costs. So the vast majority of gold miners today have got costs in the region of $800 to $1,000. It's not really until we see that gold miners are reporting all-in sustaining costs or of in excess of $2,000 when the gold price is still below it, or significantly above where the gold price is at the prevailing time, or they just stop reporting it altogether. Then that would probably be a greater indication that there is excess money flowing into the market, that there are risks being taken that are not justified by the fundamentals. Well, all of those factors would contribute to potentially gold miners underperforming, but we are nowhere near that yet. We're still in the very early stages of this bull market, where it is much more likely than not that gold shares are going to continue to outperform the gold price, because they offer significant leverage in terms of that all-in sustaining price that is, in many cases at least, half of what the prevailing gold price is. And I think those are clear indications that we are going to see continued upside from the gold mining sector overall. So GDX was in additional positive territory in here today, and it continues to extend the breakout from what was really quite a lengthy base formation. And in this case, it based for longer than the gold price or the silver price, and it started all the way back in 2013, ranging below $30. What was also, I think, rather interesting in here today was oil prices, and Brent crude popped on the upside. It was up about a dollar, moved to a new recovery high, and that has begun to stoke interest in some of the bigger companies. So Chevron, Exxon, and Royal Dutch Shell all put in higher reaction lows in here today. And I think that's supportive of the view that it is the big companies are likely to benefit from any kind of rationalization in the shale sector. When we then think about the wider stock market, the Dow Jones was flattered by the performance of those big energy companies, and it wasn't quite able to hold on to all the gains. The Nasdaq was in negative territory, but it's also right in the region of its peak. We have a really quite wide overextension relative to the trend mean. We had a downside key reversal on Monday of last week. We did not have any follow through, but it's at least pausing. So far, the reaction is relatively similar sized to other reactions we've seen in the course of this rebound from the lows in March. But the reality today is that there is perhaps better potential for outperformance in other sectors. Perhaps the most encouraging is that small caps have pushed back above their trend means. With the passage of a significant stimulus package in Europe, the majority of indices were in positive territory, although off the highs on the day. When we think about the dollar, then there is the clear potential here that with Europe beginning to show evidence that it can get its political act together, that there is a willingness to embark upon the kind of stimulative measures to reinvigorate growth, then that is potentially something that can close the performance gap between Europe and the USA. And the euro breaking out to new recovery highs in here today is a significant development, and it has clearly now broken to a new recovery high. We had the break of the downtrend earlier on this year, and this does look like a new pattern of outperformance. The pound was also in positive territory in here today and has pushed just marginally back above its trend mean. And the Australian dollar has also been pretty steady in here and pushed right back and through now the 70 cent level. So that has now clearly also broken its downtrend. Well, when we look at the resources sector, our resources related markets, the ASX 200 has pushed back above 6,000, and this is a new closing high for on a weekly basis at least. So there is the potential here that we're going to see another leg higher in this recovery. When we think about the Canadian market, then it's a similar story. It's much more heavily weighted by both banks and resources companies, and it has pushed also, and sorry, that is not, I am not typing particularly effectively, I do apologize. The TSX has pushed on to new recovery highs as well. Now, this is obviously a very steep decline and an equally steep rebound, or perhaps not quite a steep rebound, but certainly an impressive one. Now, the bigger question is, how much further are we going to see these moves go? The biggest company, despite the weighting of banks and resources in Canada, is Shopify. And the share had that downside key reversal last week and then has pulled back additionally in here. We've had some softening up in terms of the price action. We had an outside day in April. We had another downside key with no follow through in May. We had another big one last week, but again, no follow through. The clear clearest signal would be a break in the sequence of higher reaction lows. That may weigh on the outlook for the Canadian market. When we think about the weighting that it has in terms of e-commerce or internet media, then Shopify has got some significant weightings in all of these kinds of sectors. And it has been one of the clearest totems for the stay-at-home investment model. Amazon was also in negative territory in here today. So there are some, I think, pauses evident in the technology sector. The fact that Tesla's earnings are going to be, I believe, tomorrow is, I think, an additional source of some reticence in investors' minds to commit additional fresh capital in here today. They are much more likely to just simply wait until tomorrow to get a better idea of what's coming along. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.